X-Talks connects professionals in the life science, medical device, and food industries with useful content like webinars, job openings, articles, and virtual meetings to help you succeed in your career. This Food Industry Focus podcast brings together some of our editorial staff to share insights into the latest B2B industry news to help keep you up to date. This week on the show, we are discussing Nestle purchasing functional beverage brand Essentia and Canopy Growth entering the U.S. market with CBD-infused sparkling water. Enjoy the show.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the X-Talks Food Podcast. I'm Sydney Perlmutter, food industry journalist and webinar moderator for xtalks.com. And this week, I'm joined by Mira Nabulsi, Sarah Hand, and Aisha Rashid. Thanks so much for coming today. So I'm going to start us off with an acquisition story, but there's a lot more to it than just an acquisition. So Nestle agreed to purchase the premium beverage brand Essentia. So they're the leading alkaline water brand and number one selling bottled water brand in the natural channel. And we don't know how much the company was purchased for, but I would assume it is in the hundreds of millions, potentially even billions, but that's just my best guess. So this move actually came after Nestle sold its North American water business, including brands like Poland Spring, Pure Life, and Deer Park, to two private equity firms. So they sort of dumped a lot of their other water brands and purchased this new one. So they're trying to, as it seems, they're trying to get into the premium and functional beverage market and sort of just offload the other bottled water brands. So what exactly makes this a functional beverage, you ask? It's just water, but it's a functional beverage because it uses ionized water and delivers a higher pH level than other waters. And it is said to have a variety of benefits, including energy boosting and maybe counteracting the effects of acidic foods. But these claims are very much contested by scientists who say that there aren't enough studies to support these marketing claims made by ionized water companies, and other scientists believe they're complete nonsense. But regardless of what the science says, Essentia consumers are very loyal to the brand and they enjoy the smooth taste. And it's resulted in $192 million in sales in 2020 for the brand. So functional beverages and premium beverages as a whole are growing in popularity, and people are kind of looking to for their drinks to do more than just hydrate. But what I thought about when I was writing this article was Nestle's sustainability goals. So they have a sustainability goal to have zero environmental impact in their operations by 2030. So less than 10 years from now, they plan to do this. And interestingly enough, the goal asserts their goal asserts that access to clean water is a fundamental human right. And they also plan to tackle plastic waste in, as part of their sustainability goal. And these two goals are kind of directly linking to Essentia, which is a bottled water company. And I thought, why are they purchasing a bottled water brand when they just offloaded other bottled water brands and they're striving to meet these sustainability goals? So I did some research into Essentia, and it turns out they are part of the Recycling Partnership, which is this partnership that companies can enter into when they use all recyclable plastic. And they do use completely recyclable plastic, but you know, as it turns out, that's not the most important thing in being a sustainable company, because a lot of plastic isn't recycled to begin with. So a lot of that falls on the consumer to actually be responsible recyclers and do the recycling themselves. And as a result of people not recycling properly, lots of plastic ends up in landfills. And perhaps these companies need to be rethinking what they're doing as a whole, because using recyclable/recycled plastic may not be enough. So a few questions popped up as I was writing this article, and I thought about my own water consumption. But do you guys still buy or consume bottled water? And what are the reasons that you do if you answered yes?
So I don't buy reusable, I don't buy bottled water unless I'm like out or something like that, and I prefer to buy water. But my sister, that's very interesting, she always buys bottled water and she doesn't drink from the tap or anything like that. And she says it's because she can taste water very differently from the tap than she does bottled water. So then she's put in an effort to buy products like Essentia and things like that to be, recyclable and good for the environment in a sense. But yeah, her take on it is she feels a great difference in taste, and so she prefers water that is in a bottle.
What about a filter or anything, Mira? Does she use like a Brita or anything like that?
No, so I recently bought a really cool water bottle that has a Brita filter in it, because I always like to, measure how much water I'm drinking in the day and things like that. But she says she also feels not too comfortable drinking from a Brita because she knows that there is a chemical in there while she's drinking. Not a chemical, but those
I
what
think
are they
it's like a
called?
carbon, like an activated
They're like,
carbon. Yeah.
yeah, that
The
filterizes the
filter.
water while you're drinking it, and so she's less comfortable doing that, and she prefers to buy the bottles, even though I'm a huge sustainability advocate, so I'm always having arguments with her about this and like trying to find the best solution. But she finds that her solution is buying bottled water that is recyclable and is green in a sense.
Well, all water, even in those bottles, is treated in some way, right? They're filtered and things like that. I don't drink bottled water, like Mira, you were saying, unless I'm out at an event and like I don't have water on me, I'll grab something. But I actually make the effort not to buy bottled water just because of the plastic component and all of that. And I personally actually don't like the taste of bottled water for some reason. I mean, yeah, it's
Really?
not just, I
Me
don't know
too.
what it is. I just find it very chemically, like apart from certain brands and a
Yeah.
little stale component. I can't
Interesting.
really describe it, but like I don't hesitate turning on my tap and just drinking water. Although at home,
Really?
like, the fridge that we have, it has like the water dispenser and that has a filter component. So that's what I drink. I even fill up my, glass water bottles with that. So I'm good to go knowing that I'm getting filtered water from my fridge. And also the other thing with this whole water trend with like vitamin waters and alkaline waters, I don't think like that's something that appeals to me at all. For me, water is water. It's just the most basic thing that comes from like the ground. Just leave it as it is, kind of a thing. So I'm all about like keeping it au naturel, and I feel it's kind of gimmicky, all of these like, alkaline waters and things like that. I get where they're coming from, but I think it's, for me at least, I think it's very unnecessary and gimmicky. Water in itself is healthy. Making it healthier, I think it's just overkill. I think you, yeah, I just, I don't think you can make water healthier. I think the function, this, the function that it serves, I think let's just leave it at that.
I'd like to add something to say. I grew up, me and my sister grew up in the Middle East, and actually, we can't drink water from the tap. So, coming to Canada and having to drink water from the tap was a great mental shift for me.
That's
Like,
interesting.
for the longest time, I think with the first 3 years of me living here, I didn't drink water from the tap because I did see a taste to the water, and it kind of weirded me out. Like I always had to put lemon in there or something like that to like make it less tappy. But like in the Middle East, if you were to drink water from the tap, you're like you're basically putting dirty, unfiltered water
Yeah,
into
I
your
can see
system.
that. Yeah.
So yeah, so my sister does come from there. She lived the majority of her life there. So
Yeah.
her coming here and seeing me drinking water from the tap is like a big adjustment for her. So yeah, the Middle East is constantly like every restaurant you go to, bottled water.
Yeah.
Everywhere you go to is bottled water. So I think the idea of having more sustainable bottles is a good approach for places like that, in terms of, combating the waste of plastic.
Yeah, I know for where we live in BC here, sometimes when we get heavy rainfalls, we have It kind of churns up our water source at local lake, and then we have a bottled water advisory, or like a boil water advisory, right. I guess. So that's the only time that we've bought bottled water, but I feel like really bad about it because of the environmental impact. Like, I really don't want to buy that plastic. And I know what you're all saying about the taste. Like, I know some people are very, if they are into bottled water, they're very brand loyal. And I wonder if that's what, Essentia is kind of like working off of here, having that premium positioning. You know, people like the taste, maybe they go back to that. There's a certain sort of like status symbol factor to that. I'm sure they're paying a bit more than they are for like the generic kind of bottle of water. I wonder if, I wonder like what is the answer to the sustainability component here? Is it getting rid of the plastic and changing to glass? I know there are a few bottled water brands that are in glass. I think there's one, is it called like Voss or something?
Voss,
yeah. But I wonder about their like that obviously just makes the shipping costs like skyrocket because glass is so much heavier. And but I wonder if people are more likely to, you know, A, reuse that bottle, although if they're buying bottled water all the time, that doesn't fix that issue. Or B, you know, maybe they're more likely to recycle glass than they are plastic. I'm not sure what the answer is there.
Yeah, in their sustainability goals, they just, it's very vague, but they just talk about all their packaging being more sustainable. And with plastic, that just entails it either being made from recyclable plastic or being able to mm-hmm. be recycled. But then, you know, a lot of that just also falls on mm-hmm. us as consumers to actually do it ourselves because, as we've seen, we don't all do it properly, and we can't really be trusted with, you know, fixing plastic as an issue. So I think it's a start, but in terms of a bottled water company that has developed its reputation on being like the premium and the best in that sector, it will be hard to sort of change the packaging of it. Right. And my next question for if you guys know anything about this is, and Aisha, as you were mentioning, water kind of is the most naturally functional beverage by itself. But do you know if there's any merit to these ionized beverages and having a higher pH? Have you heard anything about that being better for you?
I can't say really that I have. I'm not, you know, too familiar with the literature out there, but, you know, as Mira was saying, there are places where, you know, there are issues with the water in terms of contaminants and probably pH as well. So if you're addressing things like that, I like that's fine. But I don't think there's, I'm not sure if the science is really there to back, you know, things like enhancing, you know, components or like, you know, raising the pH to a certain level and things like that. So I personally haven't come across any solid science that really backs that.
Yeah.
Neither have I. I think they're mostly marketing claims. Yeah. And people will, you know, believe it. It's sort of like a quick fix. Oh, it'll give me energy. Oh, it'll help my stomach. So I'll try it. And maybe it's a placebo effect because they have a ton of sales. So
yeah, I the same thing. I don't know a lot about it, but I haven't seen any super compelling science on the side of the alkaline water. I know people, some people follow a whole diet around this idea of kind of increasing the pH of your gut. And I think the intention is to prevent the growth of the bacteria that survive in more acidic environments, and somehow that's better, but I'm not sure how. I certainly don't ascribe to those kinds of ideas, like unless it's really backed up with a lot of science. But you know, there's certainly a lot of people who are trying to live by these certain diets and they really believe in it. So you know, I think this Essentia water's kind of banking on that, and so maybe that makes Nestle's acquisition of Essentia kind of a good move for them, even after they've kind of dumped all of their other bottled water brands. And they must not have been, you know, making money for them anymore for them to get rid of all of those assets. I guess people just shifting away, like we've all been talking about, from drinking bottled water, I think, by and large. yeah, that must have been, you know, a good move for them.
Yeah, it definitely was. And just one last point before we move on, but water is one of those things where it's safe that you can get from the tap and it's natural and it's generally healthy for you. And it seems like a beverage that we can pretty much get rid of plastic in, because most of us have access to clean water, and I don't think that bottled water is ever going to be an essential component in my life, whereas soft drinks and other beverages that come in plastic bottles were kind of a bit of a longer way away from eradicating that. So I think, I don't know, I'm pretty against plastic water bottles unless they are necessary. So hopefully we'll be moving away from that in a way that accommodates everybody. But until then, Essentia is here to stay and people love it. So with that said, Amira, I'll pass it over to you.
So we're not done talking about water just yet. So I've got an article for you guys today. Canopy Growth Corporation is entering the U.S. beverage market with its CBD-infused sparkling water. So I know that sounds odd, but hear me out. So the beverage has 25 calories, zero sugar, and is available in four flavors. The flavors include cucumber and mint, passion fruit and guava, ginger and lime, and blueberry and acai. And the company is called Quatro. So they're actually a top-selling and ready-to-drink CBD-infused beverage that's been available to the Canadian market as of 2020. And in the U.S., Canopy has now a strategic partner called Constellation Brands, which will help Canopy to tap into the CBD beverage category in the U.S. because Constellation Brand has close ties with strong distributors that could reach a wide variety of consumers. So the Canadian version of Quatro contains a small amount of THC. But the CBD-infused water that will be sold in the U.S. will contain none of the psychoactive ingredient. And that's because of various states having specific regulations for the use of THC in recreational use. So there isn't actually enough data to show where the specific CBD sparkling water market is headed. But what I did find out is that the global sparkling water market without the CBD, was worth $24.5 billion in 2019 and is expected to grow 11.8% from 2020 to 2027. Meanwhile, the CBD market is valued at $2.8 billion in 2020 and is expected to grow 21.2% from 2021 to 2028. So CBD, now that it's becoming more societally acceptable, governmentally acceptable, has seemed to have a lot of positive impacts on people's health and wellness. And CBD is available in oils, baked goods, beverages, candies, topical solutions, and a lot more. So my question for you today, with this information about the market and the various debates on the internet about whether CBD-infused sparkling water is just a fad, or do you think it's here to stay? What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, so this is kind of interesting. Last year, I attended this event. It was a CBD and beauty event. So a bunch of companies gathered together at a convention center in Toronto to promote their CBD-infused oils, lotions, topicals, sublinguals, etc. And it's not, it's a really big, there's a really big market for it. It's really up to the individual, honestly, whether or not it works for them. And I think that it, whether or not you think it's a fad is sort of like, I don't know, I think you got to try it first to determine whether or not it works for you. And like you said, CBD is the non-psychoactive part of cannabis, so it won't get you high. And it's just something that people generally say has a calming, relaxing effect on them and helps pain, perhaps. But I think as CBD gets to be infused in more products, maybe that's when people will think it's a fad. You know what I mean? Like, the more that we see it in different products, the more we might think, okay, like, is this really working for people? Or is it just, are companies taking advantage of CBD and just infusing it into mm-hmm. whatever they want for the sake of it? So I wonder if the, like, saturation of CBD in various industries is sort of like minimizing the you know, the effect that it has on people. But it's a long-winded way to say maybe it's a trend.
Yeah, you know, you see a lot of like these new products coming out with like CBD infusions for the water. Like, I don't know, like, my question would be like, what is the goal? Like, is it just for randomly, you know, obviously not getting high because you don't have the THC in there a lot of the times, but like, what is the purpose that it serves? Is it just, you know, if it's pain relief, well, what are the concentrations, what's the dose mm-hmm. in there, you know, like all of those things are regulated, and then that you're getting into like, you know, medicinal sort of, or you know, pharmaceutical you know, level regulations that need to be in place. So what is the purpose of this? Like, you're just, you know, getting some CBD. Is there any science backing, like, you know, whatever concentrations are for, or for the, you know, there to be a purpose for, you know, CBD to be in your water and for you to just randomly be drinking it? Like, that's kind of confusing to me with all of these kinds of products.
Yeah, so those are good points, Aisha. I should add, so there is actually 20 mg of premium US grown hemp based CBD in the canned water. And it's, so it is believed, now I don't know, like, I don't know the literature or the science behind it, but it's believed that CBD does help in reducing anxiety. It does help with having better health, increasing wellness. So for those purposes and a lot more, there's a lot of benefits to the use of CBD. I think for that purpose, this brand is targeting a specific kind of consumer market.
Yeah, my worry though that this is all like non-science backed mm-hmm. or based, because mm-hmm. you know, the evidence isn't there to, for CBD, you know, that it promotes wellness. What does that even mean? You know, there are studies showing that yes, it can be used for pain relief or for very specific things like chemotherapy induced nausea. So those mm-hmm. are the only two indications for which CBD is medically used. Anything else to me is just, sorry to say, garbage at this point. And I think to see, you know, CBD water without any, just because it might make you feel better, but there's no science to back that. Like, I think it's ridiculous. I personally, you know, I feel strongly about the potential of CBD. I'd love to, you know, I'm very interested in the research. And I think, you know, if they are able to show that it really has therapeutic benefits and health benefits in general, like, I am all for that. But until I see that, like, this kind of stuff kind of almost angers me, because I think people are just exploiting it for the wrong reasons and for reasons that are not there, you know, like, to say that it promotes general overall good health. Who, according to what? To what, you know?
Yeah.
So I think they're just really exploiting something that could have scientific and therapeutic benefit, and I think that could cause distrust in the future if you know, there is science that comes out to back anything on those lines. Sorry,
but I think we also but I was also going to say, but we also need to pay attention to the idea that a lot of people use CBD for recreational purposes. So idea of using CBD infused water as a recreational purpose seems to, you know, work in the benefit of companies such as Canopy and a lot more that are experimenting with this new market. So I think the added possible benefits of, you know, anti-anxiety, health, wellness, all that stuff does play a role. I think because the CBD market size is growing and exponentially growing, a lot of companies are trying to target those people that use it recreationally.
But then that's without the THC, though, right? Like, for that high effect.
No, so people do
But
take CBD for just without the high
on
effect.
its own.
So
Yeah, on
how
its
is
own.
what is that offering though?
It's a
Potentially.
calming,
yeah, calming substance.
But there's no
Potent
evidence
potentially.
Potentially.
There's
This
no
is
evidence
actually a
for
calming
that
substance.
though, because
This
you know, I've
is the
done a
funny
lot of
thing.
research into
Yeah.
CBD. There's absolutely no evidence to indicate that. I think if it's
Yeah.
a placebo effect or whatever it is, I don't know. So that's why it's concerning to me in that respect. If it's recreational, if there's THC in there, then I can definitely see that. But if you don't, you know, just CBD on its own, there is no evidence to back any of this.
I think this is the really funny thing about cannabis is that it's both being used as a medicine and a recreational drug like alcohol. So you've got this side of there's tons of evidence to now support CBD on its own in the treatment of like epilepsy and seizure
Epilepsy,
disorders.
that's right, I forgot that. Yeah.
Chronic pain, like things like that. There are also a ton of other, you know, potential indications that are being investigated. But then on the recreational side, you know, you have people that are like, well, okay, back in the day when this wasn't legalized, you know, people would sell cannabis strains and they'd say, oh, this one has less of a high and more of a relaxing effect. And when you actually look at the components, maybe that's higher in CBD than in THC. And so that's when people started to say, okay, what's the effect of this THC? It's more calming as opposed to like a psychoactive high effect. But you're right, Aisha. There's not a ton in terms of the recreational side of evidence to back that up. But I think this really, if you're looking at the recreational side, this is really going the exact same path of so many other health and wellness, health foods, supplements, all of that stuff. Like you walk down the aisle of any drugstore or grocery store now, and they have like the natural health products, and you can get anything. You can like pick up a bottle of like milk thistle or this or whatever, and they're not allowed to make super specific claims. They need to make their wording kind of more general, like may support liver health, whatever it may be. But there's not a whole lot of necessarily evidence to back that, and what you're coming down to is a person's beliefs in taking something and that it's doing something. I think the other thing is there's also probably more so it, you know, you wouldn't call it scientific evidence, but there's sort of histories in other cultures of using these things, right? So I think that can't be fully discounted, but certainly it's not scientific evidence that's backing up or kind of proving these uses. But yeah, that's definitely the funny thing about how cannabis is being regulated right now. And even on the THC side of things, you know, people are taking that for certain reasons, medically or recreationally. And it's just funny how, you know, the CBD has gone more of the side of the health and wellness, you know, to yeah. It's all over the place. Sydney, what do you want to say?
I think so. Back to the beverage itself, I think what the Quatro will struggle with is repeat customers. And this actually may play into the intrigue of the product. Maybe people will just want to try it once, try it, and then sort of move on to the next. I think since this category is growing pretty rapidly, just CBD or and or THC infused beverages as a whole, I think people kind of will not necessarily become loyal to one brand unless they find one that is perfect for them and works great. But what I think Quatro will especially struggle with, since there is not THC in it, is just repeat customers. I think, yeah, like I said, people will try it once, see if it does anything, see if they feel relaxed or whatever. And who knows if they're even drinking it for the taste at that point, because it's got such low calories that I can't imagine it
Just be
tastes
like a
like
sparkling
much aside
water
from
kind of thing, like a
maybe,
flavored sparkling
yeah,
water.
just a sparkling water. And also to that point, I hate sparkling water. I'm constantly looking for, let's say, an alcoholic beverage, for example, like a vodka, gin infused, whatever, that isn't sparkling. So I think there's a huge potential in making them also not sparkling to just tackle that side, that audience as well. But yeah, I think it'll.
Well, it is the best-selling beverage in the category as of right now. But yeah, I'm interested to see what other companies will do and how they'll
like,
promote
I'm
it.
I'm fine with, you know, if people like the taste, if they like how it makes them supposedly feel, but like to say that it promotes health and wellness, you're taking it too far like there, I think. Yeah, this reminds me of resveratrol. So I worked on this compound called resveratrol, which is found in red wine. So during my master's, and, you know, yes, a lot of evidence in the dish in mice that, you know, could have therapeutic benefits in terms of having, you know, everything from, it's been touted to have like anti-aging properties and anti-cancer properties. And it gained this whole hype because of it being a component in red wine. And so, you know, the French live longer and healthier lives despite having a high fat, you know, in rich diet. And so it's kind of like, oh, is it, you know, resveratrol in all the red wine that they drink? So that's sort of the premise from where it came. But then people started selling resveratrol like pills in a bottle and things like that. And a lot of people got into a lot of trouble for that, including maybe I may not name some names, but a very famous TV doctor host. But he got into a lot of trouble for, you know, trying to like peddle these kinds of things and pills. And I'm kind of surprised that like stuff like CBD and stuff like that is becoming more acceptable to peddle these things as having health benefits when, you know, the science isn't there to back it. But yeah, very interesting that you can go down into a health food store and then find, you know, concoctions and pills of everything and anything under the sun without, you know, the science or the regulation even there. So
yeah, I think one thing too is when you compare it to like THC infused beverages or other edibles, at least it's a bit of a, like, I don't know if a lower barrier to entry is kind of the right verbiage there, but there's less of a chance of it having too much, like having too much of an effect. So we were talking off air about some of the problems with edibles is that, you know, they can have a certain concentration, but that might not be spread, you know, throughout the brownie or whatever it may be, or even throughout the beverage. And so you could end up having more of that psychoactive high effect than you intended or than you wanted. And that's also very dependent on your, the way you metabolize that as a drug. So some people are more sensitive and only need a smaller dose. So the dosing point that you brought up earlier, Aisha, is a really big point. I think with CBD, it's sort of less of a worry because you're not getting that high effect.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that a higher dose is not going to do more or less. I don't think we have that like data. But I think to pick up that beverage, it's kind of maybe an easier sell. Like, oh, this has CBD in it. I'll try some CBD infused beverage. And I'm not sure about concentrations, whether, I think you said it's 20 milligrams, Mira, you know, whether that's kind of a lot or a little in terms of what people are used to taking. But I think that makes it a lower barrier to entry. And I think it's almost akin to like, you know, people drink kombucha. I like to drink kombucha. I like the taste of it. I don't know if it's doing anything good for me. I don't know if any of those probiotics are surviving my gut, you know, like are surviving my, the stomach acid. I don't know about that. I like the taste of it. I like to have it sometimes. And I like to think that I'm doing something good for my body, like eating yogurt or drinking kefir or something like that. I'm not sure if I am, and I'm not sure that there's any real hard scientific evidence to back that up. I know that's not necessarily the same as drinking something that has, you know, essentially kind of like a drug added to it, like CBD, naturally occurring or otherwise. But I think it's along the same line as that general health and wellness. Here's what it may do. No guarantees, that sort of thing. And I think people are just, they're curious, right? It was so prohibited for so long that when it was legalized, particularly for medicinal use, everyone wanted to believe that it was this panacea and it's going to do everything and it's going to cure cancer and it's going to treat your epilepsy and it's going to do this and this and this. It definitely isn't. It isn't that panacea. It isn't this like drug that's we've been prohibited from using for however long, and now it's going to solve whatever ails us. But I think that's what people are really taking advantage of, is this like curiosity of people to try something, and it doesn't have that potentially, you know, impairment type effect that you would get from either drinking an alcoholic beverage or something that has THC. And maybe it makes you feel more relaxed, and so I think that's really what Canopy is banking on there.
Yeah, I think just to wrap it up, I think brands like this are really tapping into a market that people are willing to explore. Mm. And now that it's being legalized, you know, in a lot of places, it really provides companies an opportunity to grow within a market where people are interested in using this, whether in recreational use or for possible or like believed health benefits. I think this is definitely a place or a market where a lot of companies have been growing and will continue to grow for a little while. So I think we've got to wait a bit longer to figure out exactly what is going on in the CBD market. Mm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you so much. That was a great conversation. So that's the end of this edition of the X Talks Food Podcast. Thanks so much, everyone, and I'll see you next week.
Bye.
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 Thanks for listening to the X Talks Food Industry Podcast. If you enjoyed our discussions today, please share the episode with your friends and colleagues, and be sure to subscribe in order to be notified when a new episode is released. To join in on the discussion, you can find X Talks on social media, email podcast@xtalks.com, or comment on the articles directly. Links are in the show description. Take a moment to join our community at xtalks.com to get access to everything we have to offer, including webinars, job listings, virtual meetings, articles, and more. The views and opinions expressed in the podcast are those of the speakers sharing them. They should not be taken as professional advice and do not necessarily reflect the policy or position Honeycomb Worldwide. For further information, email us at podcast@xtalks.com. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week.